It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Jim Galante, coming back to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. This isn't a Penn State centric topic that we're going to tackle, although Penn State has had to run into this as much as anybody when it comes to the NCAA transfer portal, and more so just the culture that is now part of college football that everybody's still getting used to, is that the freedom of movement of players and the fear of coaches that this is going to be kind of a big rampant problem because kids are going to come in not really feeling like they're making a commitment to anything. And I understand that fear, but where we're at right now, just looking at a couple of coaches in particular, and one coach that Jim called out last week on the Keystone Kickoff Show, Justin Fuente from Virginia Tech, saying anybody who goes into the transfer portal is not welcome back to his program. You know, that you called him a hypocrite. Some people didn't really agree with you on that, and that's fine. That's kind of why we're here. The other example is Mel Tucker going from Colorado to Michigan State. He says no to the job. Maybe a little less than a week later, he actually accepts the job. He's somebody who's saying that there's no transfer portal in real life, even though he just went into the transfer portal himself. I don't fault a guy for, you know, the one offer comes, you say no to it, and they keep coming back, and they ended up doubling your salary. Every human being alive should consider that. But it kind of goes back to, you're asking for a level of commitment from your players who are not paid, by the way. That's a whole nother part of the conversation. And you're not giving the same level of commitment back. You have freedom of movement, and they do not, or so you want it. And that's where it all kind of comes from, is the hypocritical kind of issue when it comes to coaches puffing out their chests and then them behaving a different way.
That's exactly it. The background is, Greg and I, last week, we did a segment called What Grinds My Gears, which is the opportunity for Greg and I to bitch about different things.
Yeah.
And one of
it's a lot cheaper than going to a psychiatrist.
It is. And as Greg and I agreed, it's something we do all the time anyway. The difference is we had an audience. Yeah. And one of the things that upsets me is the hypocrisy of, and I know using the word hypocrisy in college football, you're not narrowing it down very much, but these coaches who essentially they're free agents, their contracts don't really mean anything.
Right.
And the nature of it is they have to do that because they can't be a lame duck, because if they're a lame duck where their contract's ready to run out, they're not going to get kids to commit because, right, hey, the coach will probably be gone. The fact is, and then we've seen it here with James Franklin, whenever the rumor mill starts, he ends up renegotiating his contract. And that's fine and good. I understand those are essentially the rules. But if you're going to live that way as the coach, you can't do what Fuente did with his players, saying, look at me, I could go flirt with another job anytime I want, but you can't. And especially with the portal, as the players, I think the coaches, they feel rejected, I think, when a kid says, oh, I want to go in the portal and go elsewhere. When, if we look now, and it's only been a couple years that, and I know kids have been transferring for years, but it's just fairly recently the portal, and using Penn State as an example, remember two seasons ago, Penn State lost, what, a dozen players to the portal?
Yeah.
Out of those dozen, and the world was coming to an end, Dustin, out of the dozen or so players who left, how many of them were an issue? How many of them would have still been a factor on this team?
I don't know that you can circle anybody who you would say that was going to be a starter. Now, you can be like Zach McPherson. He would have been a good number three corner, maybe. And that experienced number three corner might have come in handy some of the time when you're throwing true freshmen out there and all that. But a lot of it was writing on the wall. A lot of it was guys who were either on the cusp of getting their degrees or already had their degrees, because Penn State accelerates their guys through there. James Franklin, and I don't always believe the things that James Franklin says, but James Franklin's point that the roster and the way it was set up, the way they recruited in 2018 and then in 2019, some of the guys from the 16 and 17 classes who didn't fire, who didn't make their moves, were in a position where, you know, yeah, it'd be great. It'd be noble to stick this thing out. But like, I have a chance I can maybe go start for 2 years someplace. And not even just go down to, you know, like Brandon Polk went down to James Madison, lit the world on fire at that level. But go and actually see the field and make a contribution to a team and not just be running through scout team and stuff like that. I don't fault guys for that. And I think the freedom of movement is a good thing. I'm not in love with the flakiness, the level of commitment now that is rampant in college football, but it's kind of a byproduct of doing something good for them at the same time.
It is, Dustin. And there's a couple situations where the whole sit out a year or not because there's an exception for you. I have some issues with that and how the NCAA handles it. But all in all, and Brandon Polk and Juwan Johnson were the two guys. And it's mostly because the rest of the wide receivers didn't step up.
Right.
But where you have a situation, and I'll go to this year's team, Ricky Slade. I probably like Ricky Slade more than most of the Penn State fan base. I think there's still a lot of there with him. But the kid right now is fourth at best. Hey, I don't blame him for looking for an opportunity elsewhere. I'm rooting for him. I hope he goes somewhere and does very, very well. And that's what the portal was designed for, to give these kids an opportunity. So I think any of these coaches, besides being hypocritical, if they're doing this, well, you're not welcome back, and throw these kids under the bus for this move, I think they're hurting themselves. James Franklin, who he may not like the way the portal works or that kids could leave so easily, but I think he's handled it so well. Lamont Wade being a perfect example.
Yeah.
When Wade decided to go to the portal, Franklin could have done the, hey, then you're not welcome back here. Well, you're cutting off your nose despite your face in that right. situation. It's very simple. Lamont Wade, he took a look around, but he felt welcome back. He came back. I would say that worked out really well for both the player and the team. So give credit to James Franklin for the way he's handled this situation. And then a guy like Fuente, who, again, he has the right to go flirt with Baylor and take the job or not take the job. I'm okay with that. But when you say, I could do it and the players can't, that bothers me, and it bothers me a lot. And the other part to this is the whole portal thing. Guess what? The whole structure of NCAA football did not fall apart with the portal. Even the guys at the top end, the quarterbacks that you saw, like Jalen Hurts moving, you know, and there's a pretty good quarterback down at LSU who was a transfer. Well, there was a situation where they were not going to play. Jalen Hurts was not going to play in front of Tua at Alabama. Well, guess what? Give them the opportunity to go someplace else and play. I have zero problem with that.
That movement was happening with or without the transfer portal. Really what it comes down to is just making communication easier between guys who are interested in transferring and schools that might be willing to welcome them. You know, this transfer portal thing has this giant stigma, and it you know, to coaches in particular, it represents all that's wrong. But like, you think back to Russell Wilson leaving NC State for Wisconsin back in the day, and his ability to do that as a grad transfer and not have to sit out a year. That's what's happening with a lot of quarterbacks anyway. If you've graduated, you go to and take grad classes someplace. That has nothing to do with the transfer portal. That was going to be a bigger and bigger part of all this anyway. So, but I do just think, you know, coaches, if you're going to try to swim against the culture of today's youth, you're going to be swimming for a long time. And James Franklin, you have to walk that fine line. I think James Franklin, I agree, James Franklin has done an outstanding job of saying, look, I don't love what this is doing, what it does to our roster management. In his public remarks, he's almost stumping for the NCAA to expand scholarship limits, you know, expand beyond 85 because we're dealing with a large number of variables now. He's not putting that burden on the kid. You know, right. He's not putting and saying, you flaked out. You're not committed. You don't have what it takes. You're never going to make it in life. If you're going to puff out your chest and say stuff like that, you are going to turn off a large number of kids. Kids that might have never, you know, transferred or whatever. They're not even going to give you a chance because of where you stand on today's youth culture. And you don't have to love it, but you're not going to change it either.
And guess what? The lifeblood of your program is – are these young men who you're recruiting at the age of 18 years old who may be a little flaky? Who knows? How about the next recruit says, do I really want to play for this guy, Fuente I'm referring to, who says he could leave but I can't? Do I really want to play under that culture? So, and there was one other point I wanted to bring up, and again, I'll show my age. Years ago, when free agency came to baseball, you thought the world was coming to an end.
Yeah.
How could we have this? And what it turned out was it made baseball more popular because every winter you would have these big name players. Everyone was paying attention to baseball during the off season because you had this excitement. And I will tell you, as a whole, college football was better this past season because Jalen Hurts was able to go to Oklahoma and play. Joe Burrow was able to go to LSU and play. It made the game better, not worse. And a lot of the other kids who go into the portal are long forgotten. It didn't affect the team. And when these superstars, again, typically if you're a superstar, you're playing, you're probably happy where you're at. It's just at the quarterback position where only one guy could play. And here you have Jalen Hurts, who's one of the handful of best quarterbacks in the country, wasn't going to play behind Tua.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
And here's just my – I've made this point before, but kids who are 17 or 18 years old, you want to believe that they have – they're equipped with all the knowledge they need. They have the family support they need to make the best decision for themselves. But – ultimately, that's just not always true. And there's a lot of kids who make decisions for the wrong reasons. There's a lot of kids who go to a school and then the coach leaves and everything they thought they were going to that school for. You can say, don't commit to a coach, commit to a program. That's not the case. Foolishness to think that actually happens. So you have a lot of kids who end up in the wrong situation for the wrong reasons. They didn't have what it took to make a really difficult life decision at that age. And then that kid is supposed to be stuck for 5 years when the coach can go wherever he wants. Like that, it's just the transfer portal just takes a little sliver of control or power or whatever in the situation and gives it to the players. And some coaches, more so than others, don't like that.
And those coaches who try to relate it to the real world, there's no portal. Well, yes, there is. You take a job, you're an adult, you think you were very smart, examined all of the things that went into the decision, and then you go to that job and say, wait a minute, this isn't what I expected.
Yeah.
Guess what? You move on.
Yeah. There is a transfer portal, Mel Tucker. You just went through it. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Jeff Brown on Penn State Hoops in just a moment.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you. So that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.